I am Kristen Megan. I am an occupational safety and health specialist and environmental and occupational toxicologist of 18 years and military veteran.
I am an environmental health and safety professional. We are both OSHA environmental health and safety consultants and very trained in the worlds of toxicology, virology, immunology, pathogens, PPE protection, PPE testing. Both of us have done hundreds and hundreds of tests for contractors, employees, medical professionals, and even some of the medical facilities like surgical suites and things like that, where the air quality in the environment, that microenvironment, has to be very, very controlled for the doctors and the nurses. So we're very familiar with the whole mask conversation. It really hits kind of near and dear to both of our hearts, which is why we're paying very close attention to all of this, and we are very concerned as environmental health and safety professionals. So I've also got a lot of medical training. Kristen and I were talking. I said, you know, one of the comments was everybody's like, what's your credentials? You know, of course, as soon as you start talking, they start challenging you like you don't know what you're talking about, or we're some rogue scientist or something. So I've got a lot of medical and construction environmental health and safety credentials as well. One of the things that I've worked with, I had somebody call me a construction grade safety person. So I had to laugh at that because, you know, lumber is considered construction grade, not certifications. So I had to laugh at that because honestly, just my work in the construction environment is what has really allowed me to get down and dirty in the world of pathogens and hazardous chemicals and testing and all of that. So hazardous materials technician, emergency care technician, I've been an instructor, medical instructor with outdoor emergency care and all of that kind of thing. So Kristen and I are just gonna have a conversation about some things that we're both very concerned about. And hopefully as we talk, some of this stuff will come to light and you'll be able to get some of your questions answered. Let's talk about masks. All right, so what do we know about this virus to begin with? Because this is really all about COVID-19 and it's really all about the coronavirus. So what do we know about this? We have to talk about what we know about before we can talk about what we don't know about, right? So what do we know about the coronavirus? Well, we know that this particular virus is incredibly, incredibly tiny. It is a viron that is part of the classification of coronaviruses. There are a lot of coronaviruses out there. This is a novel virus. So this is, when we say this is a novel virus, what that means in virology is that this is a strain of the virus that we have never seen before. And this actually goes back to some chimeric research. If you don't understand that, you can look it up. Chimeric research that the virus itself has been intentionally genetically modified and engineered with another strain of another virus. So it's part of the SARS virus family, but it has been, it's a chimerically altered virus. So we consider it to be a novel virus, which is why we don't know a whole lot about it yet. So what we do know though, is that it is so tiny that it's between 0.06 microns and 0.125 microns. So what that means when it comes to masks, and the homemade cloth masks in particular is really the hot topic that we want to address. They do literally nothing to protect you from disease transmission. Okay, so everybody talks about mask up to protect your neighbors so you don't kill grandma, all that kind of thing. This is what you're hearing from people. Well, what you need to understand from a virology perspective is that that mask is not protecting anybody around you at all from the expiration of this pathogen to those around you. So let's talk about surgical masks and N95s, because this is kind of your world too. You've done a lot of testing and things like that. So do you want to talk about masks and different types and sizes and all
so
of that?
Just to get into a little bit more of my credentials, I know a lot of you know Tammy, some of you may follow me. So I'm a military veteran, and when I was in the Air Force, I worked in a job called bioenvironmental engineering. And between my time of 9 years on active duty and all my years since 2010 working in private industry, I've conducted well over 10,000 fit tests on respirators and different types of masks. And my experience in seeing people fit tested, failing, wasn't just because of, well, when you get fit tested, there's two different ways to get fit tested. There's qualitative fit testing and there's quantitative fit testing. And the most common is quantitative. So basically, when you're seeing all these tests done on YouTube, where people are using pulse oximeters and things like that, that measures hemoglobin and oxygen saturation. Well, to actually properly detect, like you may have seen on Del Bigtree's video from the High Wire, is that in order to gauge the amount of oxygen or the off balance of allowed gaseous exchange rates within the mask, when you get fit tested, there's a little port that goes to your mask that can not only measure the air inside the mask, but what's in the outside ambient air. And basically when you're getting fit tested in the workplace, it's a calculation within the machine that's determining, can you perform certain physical movements, talking based on your weight, not having facial hair. There's a lot of different situations in which you have to be aligned with to pass the fit test. I've seen people faint during fit tests. I've seen people get lightheaded. I've seen people tell me, whoa, whoa, I need to sit down. So I have a lot of experience in understanding the limitations, usage, training, all of that. Proper cleaning, decon, donning means to put on a mask, doffing means to remove the mask. And the problem is that all of this data, what you're seeing, and that's why we have joined forces, thankfully we've networked on social media, is that there's so many issues. So what we're trained to do in a work environment through federal regulations, through OSHA, is not what we're seeing at the hands of our governor. We just have this blanket mask mandate. And the issue with that is we're not following any other protocols. So if we have this science in the workplace saying, hey, you fill out this medical questionnaire, and if you have things like claustrophobia, anxiety, PTSD, kidney issues, history of a stroke, history of a cancer, certain genetic factors can trigger you to need a further evaluation, and there's a pulmonary test, there's a huge function test in order to approve you to wear a mask. See, mask wearing and respirator wearing is not just what is your personal medical history. It is mostly involved in what will you be doing while you're wearing the mask? Are you working in a confined space? Are you working in hot environments, cold environments? And also, what else are you wearing? Are you wearing other forms of PPE? And while this all really ties into the workplace is impacted by this mandate, but so is it for the private citizen. Because when you just tell someone to slap on a mask, you don't know any of their medical histories, and you don't know the conditions in which they're wearing the mask, and you don't understand what they may be doing, whether this is a parent with multiple kids snapping them in and out of car seats, whether someone is overweight, whether they have skin conditions. You can get maskne, which is a socially acceptable term for a type of dermatitis that actually, if you get in the workplace, isn't OSHA recordable. So yeah, I mean, this is why we wanted to get together and talk about this, because the whole mask usage, there are so many guidelines you must follow. And the most important and the biggest issue with the mask mandates is that there's an institution called NIOSH. It's the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. And there's also another group that basically any form of PPE that you're wearing has to be ANSI rated and NIOSH approved. And these homemade masks, while I totally understand the intent is to be kind and selfless and help others, they're actually dangerous. And they're dangerous because it's the same reason when you go to your physician, they ask you, do you have a latex glove allergy? You don't just need disabilities or issues that you can't see, like PTSD and anxiety and claustrophobia. There are physical issues that can exempt you from wearing a mask, and you need to know your rights. And it's scary right now, but that's why we wanted to team up and to discuss this, because we are both subject matter experts in this. And I have the utmost respect for medical professionals and doctors. I work in preventive medicine, but we are the subject matter experts, and we are the ones that will tell people in a medical setting what type of PPE they need to utilize. So basically, that's the gist of my major ethical issues with this mask mandate.
Let's talk quickly about some of the tests. And I'm sure some of you, because I have so many people messaging me and sending me some of these videos that are available online, like the Del Bigtree videos and other videos where we're actually putting people in the face covering, and then we're just a simple face covering or just a simple like a dust mask type of thing. And then we're actually doing the tests where, like you had mentioned, they insert the tube and, you know, we get the reading. Well, we're seeing readings that are falling into the 84, 85 range. And Medicaid will provide and cover oxygen for you at 86. It's considered hypoxic. And yet we have some people who will test very low, even very healthy people like runners and very fit people. We're all different. Our bodies are all different. So some people, their oxygen levels will drop to hypoxic levels, even in a face mask. And we know this because we've done testing with these direct read instruments. And so if we know this, why are we just making this an across the board mandate? That's the question Kristen and I and all of the professionals in our field are asking. I was on the phone with two other safety and health professionals today, and we had a long conversation about this. And it, what really bothers us is that it's being mandated at the government level. And these are the government agencies that actually were created. Their mission, OSHA's mission, is to protect the safety and health of America's workers. That's the reason they were created in 1970, to keep you safe, to make sure you have a healthy and safe working environment, to make sure that your employer does not force you to do something that's going to cause health or safety issues for you or expose you to hazardous environments. That's why 50 years ago when OSHA was created, we have 50 years of OSHA making sure through testing, through partnership with their sister agency, NIOSH, which is the National Institutes of Safety and Health. I can't remember if you explained that or not, but NIOSH. We have 50 years of science. We have 50 years of testing that proves when contractors initially began putting on just a simple face cloth covering, which was like a dust mask, it wasn't even a real respirator. It was just covering their mouth and nose because of drywall dust, wood particulates, you know, wood shavings or paint fumes or anything like that. They would just put a simple handkerchief or bandana over their mouth and nose. And what happened?
They would fall out.
We were killing people. They would have heart attacks. We had people not just faint, but some people, their cardiopulmonary system is not strong enough even to be able to just put a simple face covering over the mouth and nose and then do your work and exert yourself all day. So we were literally killing people by doing this. And this is why OSHA started doing the science, doing the research, testing the oxygen levels inside of the face mask and outside to determine what are they actually breathing in? What are the oxygen levels they're breathing in? And what they discovered was it was hypoxic. The oxygen levels were so low with some of them, not everyone is going to react this way, but with many people, they would drop to hypoxic levels. And that's why they were getting headaches, nauseated, lightheaded, heart attacks. Some people's cardiopulmonary systems are not strong enough to handle that, and we will give them a heart attack. So knowing that, because of that information, OSHA literally created the respiratory standard. Okay, so if we know this, why in the world did Michigan OSHA just drop the bomb on us that they just dropped?
When I saw my OSHA drop this sort of placard or meme that said, no shoes, no shirt, no mask, no service. One thing you guys need to understand, guys and gals, is that there is federal OSHA, okay? Federal OSHA is the highest law. Every state has their own Department of Labor, or like in Michigan, we have my OSHA, Michigan OSHA. All the laws and standards within my OSHA have to, at a minimum, align with federal guidelines. They can exceed them. They can be more stringent. Same with the Department of Defense. A lot of military standards exceed OSHA standards, but at a minimum, they must meet that. So this my OSHA language that just came out is in direct violation with federal law. This just dropped this evening, so I can't even imagine the type of legality issues that are gonna come up. But this is a violation of federal OSHA. It's a violation of the ADA. It's a violation of so many things.
It's a violation of Michigan OSHA.
And individual property rights. You know, having the governor come in and mandate a business to force their patrons to utilize what they're not calling PPE, which it is. The way that they're backpedaling from trying to avoid these laws is to not call it personal protective equipment, PPE. They're trying to call it an article of clothing. It's not an article of clothing. We all know when we shop and we buy shirts, there's holes, folks. There's holes in our clothing to allow us to breathe. So anything that's inhibiting your body's natural operations is an issue, and it is PPE. And by you saying it's not about you, it's about the people around you, that's completely fake.
Right.
And at what point did we become such a draconian society that somehow we're stating that our individual lives are less important than our neighbors? You know, we need to have unity and selfless ideologies, but I'm going to tell you right now, as a disabled veteran, I have reasons I can't wear a mask. I spent 9 years in masks and gas masks and respirators. I can't do it anymore. Because of my background in toxicology, I fully understand these risks. And not only am I credentialed in those things, I'm also credentialed in decontaminate site management. I used to be a huge manager in the city of Chicago in the event of any sort of pandemic or emergency response, whether it's with a chemical warfare, biological, or even viral, I was the person to manage it. So I'm standing here today as someone who works for myself. I have no one to answer to. And that's what her and I discussed prior, is that people in our field are afraid to talk. You know, my husband, I'll leave his new employer nameless. He would have joined us. My husband is also in my field, but he's also credentialed, as he has a master's in public health and emergency management. And people have to fear losing their jobs. And we all have ethics within our profession, whether we took an oath or not. The ethics within our profession is to help employers and employees. It's not just to fight against, you know, the upper echelons. It's to make sure everything jives together, because when employees are happy and management happy, people work safer. This right now is pitting not just management and employees against each other, but it's hurting businesses, because businesses are now required to put things in place that are going to push people away. We need to speak with our money, not vote, but speak with our money. And it's very sad. I have to give a shout out here to Roses in downtown Grand Rapids. I have a medical exemption and I had no issues. And you can see in these businesses that they feel so strong-armed in having to comply with something that they feel is wrong.